This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rolling on third hour. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney back to beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota. Convention Center. Been a good couple days here. Live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience here. And got Patrick Ewing coming up this hour. Get to KD and LeBron in a moment. Our show is also brought to you by Gatorade Zero. Athletes everywhere are talking about Gatorade's newest addition to the roster called Gatorade Zero. Gatorade Zero, all the electrolytes Gatorade, but no sugar, zero sugar. So you have zero excuses not to get yours today. As I said, the big fella, Patrick Ewing, up next. Patrick's going to join us, head coach of Georgetown, Basketball Hall of Famer. Obviously, we'll make our predictions, hone in on the games, the final segment, really get a little more specific. Christian Leitner was great. He joined us in the first hour, so no TV today, just on the radio, on the app, SiriusXM 206. If you missed the Leitner spot, go and get it, you know, via Apple iTunes, million ways to download our stuff, CBSSportsRadio.com. So let's spend a little time on this. And we all saw the visual, if you watched the game or if you called SportsCenter this morning. You saw LeBron and Kevin Durant having an interesting conversation before the game last night. Mm-hmm. We know LeBron didn't play. They got destroyed. Kevin Durant pulled up his jersey or towel, whatever it was, over his lips. So we couldn't play the lip-reading game. And we're all fascinated and mesmerized by what was said. Oh, they're plotting powers. If you believe, first of all, if you care what they were talking about in that moment, I don't know what to tell you. You got to find some hobbies.
Yeah.
You got to find some hobbies.
Look, there's nothing that could be being profound. There's nothing profound that was being discussed right then. It just isn't. Right? If LeBron James was going to plot with Kevin Durant to bring him to Los Angeles, I'm sure he would just call up KD and say, hey, let's go get dinner. Or meet me at my hotel. Or whatever. Come to my crib. Because you're in L.A. and they do whatever they want the night before the games. That's how it works in the NBA. You're not sequestered like in the NFL. I honestly think it was just It's a blown-up story that has no substance behind it.
None.
Like, what they were talking about. The only reason we're talking about it is because of how they were talking to each other.
Exactly.
Right?
True.
They were putting their hands over their mouths like they were calling, like Sean Payton calling a play.
Like every coach at this
Sunday.
Point, really.
Exactly. You kind of have to, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you don't want teams to pick up your terminology.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only reason it's an issue. And then KD buys into it by taking a towel and pulling it over his face. And maybe they had bad breath. Who knows? But was there anything substantive going on there?
Uh-huh.
I don't think so one bit at all.
I don't think so either.
And you know what's worse, BT, is that I don't – even if there was, like, you see how it is here in L.A., man. They really love the players here. You know, you should think about coming – like. Who would care?
Nobody. People who, like I said, need to find the hobby.
Exactly. Because there's going to be so many other things that are going to be important to KD than anything LeBron could say to him in a 2-second or 5-second conversation before a game starts about what is this talk relative to his decision whether or not to leave Golden State next year and if he does decide to leave, where he's going to go.
I just want to break this down in real talk here. Here's my version of what went down, all right? They approach each other, and I'm going to talk in a little muffled term here, and I'll fluctuate. The first voice you'll hear is LeBron, and the second voice you'll hear KD. Yo, what's up, K-Dizzle? What's going on, brother? How we doing? Yeah, we all right, man. Get ready. Win another chip. We're good. Yo, man, get me the hell out of here. This place sucks, man. Magic don't know what he's doing. Yo, I got to bounce, man. You want to come join me? Nah, not really. I'm going to the Garden. That's not what they're talking about. Because if they had an interesting – think about it. If they're actually plotting out their future together, you're not going to do it there, as Tiki said. You're going to do it at a restaurant or in somebody's crib. We know LeBron's got a home in L.A. I believe Kevin Durant does as well. They obviously have each other's cell numbers. Their camps know each other. They're boys. They've become very good friends. And I just, it really, like, are we that desperate to find content?
Yeah.
Like,
people aren't.
I guess we aren't.
People are. Look, remember when we made a big deal out of Kyrie and Durant in the tunnel at the All-Star game.
Yeah, people did. Yeah.
Right.
And Irvin Kyrie got a little mad about that.
Because, that was as planted as it could be, though.
Yep.
I mean,
so was last night.
That was a stage.
Yeah, but so was last
but
night.
At least last night was somewhat spontaneous, right? Somewhat like we're meeting in the court because we're both playing. The All-Star game and the tunnel.
Yeah, that was like choreographed.
Exactly.
Only thing was missing was a prop.
They got two max salaries,
yeah,
man.
No, we got one, two. Put two fingers up for the camera.
Come on.
You know, my middle finger
Come
and my
on,
point
Kyrie.
Finger. We got two.
You know what? That was kind of the downfall of Kyrie's perceptual strength this year.
I think it happened before that, actually.
Really?
I think it was creeping in a little bit before that.
Maybe.
But that was a weird one.
Because after that, he started to get like really defensive and angry. And why are you guys always worrying about what I'm talking about? Because you put yourself.
I just want to be a ball player.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
You put yourself out there and you say crazy things.
But I'll take it a step further. I wouldn't doubt, we're talking about this before the show with Santer, and Santer, he brings up the point, it's somewhat organic and they meet at midcourt, whatever. No. Even think about this. All it takes is you have to understand, and I can't even remotely, if anybody can relate to it, it's Tiki, but even Tiki is three planets away from understanding what it's like to be one of those guys in terms of national profile, and yours is very high as it is. But I guarantee that they said to each other via text or on the, hey, listen, let's really play this up there. Let's have a little fun. We know all the chumps are going to take pictures, and they're going to put the gifs out there, and we'll just dominate social media. We'll have a little fun. We'll play with these suckers again. Like, I actually believe that. You know, for the first couple of years of social media, as players were learning about it, this wasn't really the case. But now they've manipulated full, in advance. Like, they know how to play it because people still fall for this junk.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is.
It really is.
But it's interesting for a minute. And then you go on, you move on to something else. I think the bigger issue with the LeBron and KD is, are they actually ever going to be teammates? Do you ever see them? Being able, you'd think that KD would even consider coming to LA with
the
LeBron.
Only way they'll be teammates is if LeBron James gets traded to the Knicks. I don't think. But if Kevin Durant joined LeBron, my initial instinct is to say it's kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. That would be the construction of a super team, in quotes, where the super team is down.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think this about, first of all, I don't think it's going to happen. Let me just say that overtly. I don't think he's going to the Lakers. Maybe the Clippers, but you know where I stand.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a Knick. But I also think that if he ever did change his heart and change his tune midstream and become a Laker, I don't think, provided they have success, I don't think that he would be chastised the way some of these others are for, quote-unquote, taking the easy way out, like when he joined the Warriors.
Yes.
Because the Lakers are really down. And if he went, think about this, because a lot of people think that, and I believe this, the only way to improve his profile, win a championship again,
without like the existing superstar,
and then go save the Knicks, who have been a 20-year doormat.
Yeah.
Okay, and if that happens, then maybe, I don't know, does he jump over LeBron? Who knows? We'll have that discussion down the road. But imagine if he saves LeBron.
Yeah,
that's a conversation I never considered.
Yeah, it's true. But do you think guys worry about that? Actually, do you think they really care?
Worry or aware of it?
I think they're aware of it. But do you think that they honestly are sitting at home with their advisors or spouses or significant others or whatever? Mm-hmm. Talking about their legacies in real time. Do you think they? You think they really? Maybe LeBron
is. That's a great question.
Maybe LeBron is.
Uh-huh.
But do you think that, like Kyrie or KD or AD?
I think KD
Davis,
does care. Think about the burner accounts. I don't think Kyrie Irving really cares. I don't. I don't think he needs that the way some others do. It's an amazing question. And here's the thing, here's where I'll defend the athlete. And I think you and I do a good job of framing any conversation just based on championships. We believe there's context, and we always try to throw in the minutia that adds up to a fair representation of one's career. A lot of people gloss over it. You and I try not to.
Yeah.
But I think that to defend the athlete momentarily, I'm not saying that the first thing they do is wake up and put on First Take. But, I mean, some of them do.
Yeah.
Because they're in hotels.
Yeah.
And I believe that when every day it's dissected on such a big platform like that and other shows, and we've had it as well, I believe it's permeated the athlete's mindset on a level that it never did. And because it's permeated so deeply, I do think that it impacts some decisions that they make.
Yeah,
I truly believe that.
I can see that, BT, because when it gets talked about, it's like now we're talking about this. There could be some of our listeners that are tweeting at us and they're – you know, either hashtagging or adding, you know, these guys. And so they show up. It shows up in their mentions, you know. It becomes, you know, something that's trending or a narrative or something that's relevant to them that they don't, that they're not controlling. Mm-hmm. And so you talk about KD's burner accounts. I think KD does care. Otherwise, why have a burner account where you're defending yourself when you're not yourself or pretending not to be yourself?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 'cause you care. You're trying to change and control the narrative in some regard. But I think that, you know, it's futile, because ultimately the only thing that matters, and I think this is what KD is realizing now that he's with the Golden State Warriors, he's won two championships and two finals MVPs, is if you win, it doesn't matter what anybody says. And so KD, I think, has realized that winning is trumps everything. I think LeBron's known that for a long time, mm-hmm. which is why he left Cleveland in the first place to go win a championship, because people will ultimately forgive you if you're a winner.
That's kind of sad, though.
It is. It absolutely is. It's but which makes me, and we had this conversation 2 weeks ago, BT, why you appreciate Damian Lillard, because it's not about that.
Yep.
There's a loyalty that he feels to the Portland Trailblazers and to that team and city and everything else, that it's not just about winning. And yeah, he could leave, and it would be devastating to Portland, uh-huh. and go try to win a championship somewhere. Say Los Angeles or Golden State or wherever, go anywhere and try to win a championship, but it means something else to him to stay there. And that's, I appreciate that.
I do too. And I'll tell you, a guy that really lived that, although he played for two teams at the end, but only because he was just about finished, not because he was chasing chips. It was because really, you know, at that point, his services really weren't needed and he started bouncing around. That's our next guest, the great Patrick Ewing.
That's right.
To me, there's glory in the pursuit. I mean, there's real glory. Now, people will gloss over that because it's not a championship. Barkley, this applies to. Stockton, Malone, we all know the names that didn't win. You know, and I think what bothers me at my core, one of the things about this medium that I really wish would change, but it won't. It won't. People are becoming more and more surface and shallow oriented in terms of how they frame discussions. But somebody like Ewing, and if they didn't, and I was there every night. I mean, on my couch, and I'm not even, because when he was playing, I was still in school. I didn't even cover the name. I wasn't in the business yet. So when I say I was there, I was on the couch with my pops in the basement watching every Ewing shot. It starting with the first basket he ever made as a rookie when Darryl Walker missed a 17-foot jump shot, and Patrick Ewing jumped over Moses Malone and he dunked it down off the putback against the Sixers on opening night. Oh, it was actually a day game. Opening day on CBS, by the way. And I say that because, you know, Ewing is penalized. Oh, he didn't win a championship. And, like, that's a conversation ender. And I get it on some level. But to see Patrick Ewing drag, and I say this with respect, you know, some retreads and some average with John Starks, you know, guys that really weren't great but had heart and had resolve and had some good moments, I believe there's glory in that and honor in that. And that context is lost. It is ignored, and it's wrong. But I can't control what others think. Can't do it.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Coming up next year, the aforementioned Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing, Georgetown head coach. I'll tell you, this guy can coach. Forget about Patrick shooting and dunking on you and hitting that little 15-foot baby baseline jump shot. Patrick Ewing is a successful college basketball coach already. He's doing a nice job. We'll talk with Pat coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news for you. Quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Roll in our next guest, and let's face it, he's one of my favorites. You listen to the show, you know that. He is the head coach at Georgetown and getting ready for year number three, already showing some nice adaptability to the college game. The Hoyas took a nice step forward this year in the conference and overall. He is one of the 50 greatest players of all time. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame, the great Patrick Ewing. Patrick, how's it going, bud?
Doing well. Thank you guys for having me. I had fun last year when I was on, so naturally when they asked me to come back, I'm like, yes, I'm down.
Look at this guy, number 33. He's our guy. Thank you, Pat.
You know we give mojo, so if you come on our show, good things are bound to happen. So,
well, I'm hoping.
So some of that success from last year, that's on us.
I'm hoping.
So it's going to continue going forward.
Even though he's a St. John's guy.
That's right.
I'm going to let that slide. I'm going to let that part slide.
He's really a Marist guy, but St. John's pays some of the bills, so
and listen,
know, he gains his loyalties from the paycheck.
There's one thing, and you want to hit a lot of things here with Patrick. There's one thing you know, and I know that it's never going to be the same. You can never replicate that. There's not seniors. Mullen was a senior. Wennington, you, Dalton, all those guys. Horace Broadnax. I'm throwing any name you want. But, you know, and I've talked to Chris about this. I know you guys are tight now. I mean, you guys really, truly did not like one another when you were banging elbows in the 80s. You didn't like each other.
No, we didn't. He and I didn't become cool and become friends till 84 when we were at the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
That's when we started to really getting to know each other a little better, you know, let the guard down. Working out a little bit, but that's when we really started to become much better friends.
How was year two?
It was great. You know, we still missed a lot of mistakes that I wish we didn't, or that cost us games. But that's what happens when you're playing or starting three freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I joke around with everybody that I've talked to since I've been here. So when the year started, I had hair. But, you know, one thing about young people is that, you know, which you love about them, they think that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. They can leap tall buildings in a single bounce. And, you know, they have to learn that, you know, things that you got away with in high school, you're not going to get away with it in college. Or if you make it even to the next level, the things that you got away with in college, you're not going to be able to do it at the next level. People are bigger, stronger, just as athletic than you, bigger than you. So you have to learn different ways how to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, they had to learn this year. And it's still an ongoing process.
We're talking to Patrick Ewing, head coach at Georgetown. I mean, the illustrious history of the Hoyas, 30 NCAA appearances, 5 Final Fours. Patrick won the championship back in 84. 15 years with the Knicks. Yeah, Seattle. Yeah, Orlando. Whatever. Nobody cares about that. Hall of Fame, Bertie's with us here on the show. And, you know, I wonder if you, because I remember it was last season, I forget which kid you were chewing out. I loved it. It went viral all over social media. You have a similar approach to Tom Izzo. Tough love. I'm going to coach you up. You're going to
definitely
accountable. And I'm going to get in you. I'm going to get in you grow when I have to.
You're talking about the one where he's like, did you practice that shot?
Yes, yes, that's the one.
You practiced that shot?
Do the kids, are they still receptive to being coached hard, or do you just have to find a special kid that you know will be able to take it?
I think that if you make sure these kids know that you're for them, you love them, you know, just as hard as you show, that's as hard as you're going to coach them. You have to show them just as hard that you love them and you care about what, you know, them as people and as individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Izzo shows that to his team. If you look at the way he, no one's going to, I'm not going to let you coach me hard if I don't think you believe in me or you're going to show me love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he does. People who do it and just constantly do it, that's when you have problems.
Is it a little easier? It was a little bit easier before we move on for you to do it because of the Hall of Fame resume. They could pop on YouTube. They could see the fall away jump shot. They could see you yoking on people. That's got to help you out, obviously.
I'm not going to say the Hall of Fame, the fact that I made the Hall of Fame helps. I think the fact that I've played, I've been in their shoes, everything that they've gone through or going through, I've already gone through and they will go through, hopefully. But, you know, like I said, you have to make sure that they know that you care about them, and I think that's the only way you're going to be successful coaching people hard.
Yeah, no, it's one thing your name because it gets you in the
right, get you in the door.
It gets you in the door, and there's respect that comes with that. But then it becomes about coaching. How difficult is it for you with the way the NBA, not the NBA, but really basketball? It's not just NBA; it's college basketball. It's all three pointers now. The big men, they look at you and like, hey, can you shoot threes, Pat? And
like, he would have been able to, by the way. Yeah. If he practiced that,
true,
he would have made some.
True, but like,
no doubt.
But you spent your days with your back to the basket,
right.
You know what I mean? So it's a different brand that you know, but you're still teaching the new thing. How do you reconcile that?
It is different. You know, even though I could shoot, I knew where my bread was buttered.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you have to be able to do both. You have to be able to get in the blocks and score, or get the ball in the paint and to be able to suck the defense in to either score or get the threes. Those are great. Those are great threes. You know, you coming down and just jack up a shot. You know, and not everybody's Steph Curry.
Yeah,
he is special. He is like Michael. Michael was special in terms of his athleticism, getting to the hole, dunking on people, tongue hanging out, wagging, and all that. Steph is another player who's his ability to shoot the basketball. But not only shoot it, but also make plays. Handling, get to the hole is just great.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, and me as a coach who I've played in that era, and I also worked in the era where it's a spread, more of a spread game. I think that the fact that I've worked in the NBA and I've seen it firsthand, mm-hmm. that helps me to be able to do it now in the college level.
Yeah. It's the great Patrick Ewing with us here on Tiki and Tierney. So third year coming up, 15-15 overall, first year at Georgetown. And I remember doing some of the games. You didn't have a lot to work with all due respect, just 5 conference wins. This year you bumped the conference up to 9. You win almost 20, 19-14. You know, and I want to go back to your days, even though I know you want to push this forward. You don't care as much about your days as a player. I get that. But I think there's a greater point to be made because Mike Jarvis was able to protect you and shield you. Mm. Cambridge and Latin, a lot of people don't know him. I mean, Mike Jarvis coached you.
Right.
And I remember you thought about going to BC. We know where you wound up. and I think, Patrick, that you were able, for the most part, and then, of course, the big man protected you a little bit when you were in DC. You were never really in the deep water with the Sharks, the dirty AAU guys. I think so. So having that background and now coaching, how do you deal with the AAU nonsense, the garbage, the dirtiness? Is that a challenge for you?
Well, first of all, you know, I don't have to deal with the dirtiness. You know, we're not going to do all those things. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, it's my job as a coach to try to get guys who are going to fit my system, or not even my system, but fit the way that my belief or how I wanted things to be done. You know, naturally, I would love to be able to get a lot of these great players, but you know, in reality, most likely I'm not. But if you see all these guys who have even been successful in college in this year, mm-hmm. not all of them are one and done.
No.
You have guys who were on no one yet. You know, you had to go beat the bush to find them.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, well, how did you miss on him? You know, so there's definitely players out there that you can find that's going to help you your program or help you to be good. And you know, I'm a big believer in player development. No matter how good you think you are, you always have to get better. And, you know, we have to develop the players that we have here, have at Georgetown now to try to that's the only way for me, in my opinion, we're going to get better, is to continue to develop the ones that are there
yep.
to be able to get the people who are the elites.
Yeah, is it tempting, though, Pat, to go after those kids, those ones that can change your program, right? They're going to put you on a national spotlight. Every sport outlet and media member is going to talk about that kid. Isn't that tempting, though? Because it's quick, but it might be fleeting, if that makes any sense.
No, it does make sense. And, you know, look, Zion, I try to recruit Zion.
You did.
I'm knocking on the door. Let me in. But, you know.
They're like, not by the hair, my chin, chin, chin.
You have to try.
Yeah, of
course. You have to try, you know. Yeah. And I think that Georgetown is a big enough name to at least get you in the door.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it didn't get me in the door with Zion, but it has got me in the door with a lot of other players. But it was just unfortunate for us that it didn't work out. But, you know, like I said, it does not have to be that elite players. There are millions of other players, other kids that who knows how great they're going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people who you don't know where they start. It's not where you start, it's where you finish.
No question.
And if you continue to work at your game and believe in yourself, then anything is possible.
Now, I know the NCAA rules are fickle. Talking to Patrick Ewing, head coach at Georgetown, certainly don't want to put you in the wrong spot. If you can't comment, just say it. I believe that you guys are still in the race for Cole Anthony, your boy Greg Anthony, your former teammate's son. Is Georgetown still on his list?
I'm going to leave that one alone. Okay. We're on the list.
Okay. I got you.
We're
hey,
on the list.
Hey, you're on that list. You're doing something right because that kid
list.
Is special. But I don't want to put you in the wrong spot. This I want a real comment on. Don't give me anything vanilla. I want this answer's got to come from the heart, man.
I'm going to do my best.
Okay, and I know you will. Kevin Durant. All right, listen. It's time that the Garden has another you. Listen, I know Carmelo can score, and I'm not here to disparage Carmelo, but whatever. He was.
Love Carmelo for the Knicks. I thought he did a great job.
I'm gonna move on from that. I can't, Pat. I can't battle you on that because I don't want to make you look bad on the radio. No, just kidding. But listen, Kevin Durant, do you believe it's really possible that he's coming to the Knicks? And what would he be? I mean, New York City has not had basketball vibrance in too long, man. It's been decades. What would it be like for Durant to play at the Garden?
Well, I'm not sure what he's going to do. I'm not in his camp. You know, Kevin Durant is a great player. He's one of the top 5 players in the league. So if he comes to New York, I think that'd be, you know, it'd be great. You know, that means that he believes in the things that Fizz is saying and doing. And, you know, it's only going to get better. I admire Kevin. He's a great player. For a person his size at 6'10", to be able to do the things that he can do, is remarkable. He's one of those guys who are ruining for big people. That's why everybody wants to be, you know, on the prim. They want to be the next Kevin Durant. They're 6'10", 6'11". They want to be able to handle the ball, go between their legs, shoot threes. He's ruining. He's another one that's ruined the game for big people.
I love that. You know, whether he comes or not, Patrick, do you think that, like, how does the perception of the Knicks change back or evolve?
Win.
Obviously, it's about winning, but it just feels like there's an undercurrent. And maybe it's Dolan. Maybe it's, you know, the fact that they haven't won a lot. How does that change? Because it needs to.
To me, win. You know, Mr. Dolan is Mr. Dolan. He's going to be there. He's the owner. He's, you know, he's the one that's writing the checks. You know, I was able to play for him, and I you know, I like the guy. But it's going to be, are they going to win? Winning cures all. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I could be the worst person in the world, but if I'm winning, they're going to forget all about that.
That's true, man. That is true. Listen, Pat, we could do this all day, but I know you got to bounce, and we unfortunately have to take a break as well. Patrick Ewing, you know, I said this last time out in San Antonio last year when you were on the show. I thought it was ridiculous that you had to wait as long as you did to get that coaching job. The time that you put in really working big men, hustling, getting right. your coaching hustle on, the money you have in the bank, you didn't have to do it. The sweat equity that you put in to become a coach, and at this point, I'm not just saying this, a good one, I'm really sincerely happy for you, man.
No, I appreciate that. You know, it's just like with some of these players, you know, you say you're beating the bush, or they're like, how did I miss on him?
Uh-huh.
You know, that's, I just look at it. Every time I was told no, I just try to be that better at my craft that when I was given the opportunity that I wasn't going to fail.
At center, 7 feet from Georgetown, number 33, co-captain Patrick Ewing.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks.
Good luck,
love
Pat.
You, brother. All right, that was really good. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that as well. We'll get a timeout, send it back to New York. We got Ack on the update. We'll come back, and then Teague and I have final predictions. Well, we know which way he's going to go. You know which way I'm going to go as well, because I've told you all week. I think Virginia's going to win the championship. But we'll make final picks. We'll even do it against the spread. We'll get that after Ack, who's coming at you right now. Here's Rich.
I got to make some picks, which we'll do in a minute here. Obviously, Tiki and Tierney wrapping up a good, really fun, terrific couple of days here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Final Four. My boy Tiki is all revved up. 1 to 10. Level of confidence.
10, of course.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. Tiki, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, let's go, comes in from Jason Stevens on Twitter. And he says, guys, is Cassius Winston a legit NBA point guard or just an elite college player? My first instinct is the latter, more so than the former. I don't know that he's got the shooting range or the consistency or the explosiveness. He's a great college player. He's a great college quarterback at that lead position, and he very well might, you know, be a good eighth man or seventh man in the NBA.
Yeah.
But I don't see him as a star, but I love the kid.
Yeah,
love
him. Backup point guard, comes in, gives you real minutes, doesn't make you, you know, slouch off from the starter who goes out of the game. I like him as a pro. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, though.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
Yeah. Well, listen, there's a lot of players we didn't think would be superstars, and they turned out to be superstars.
Right.
And the exact opposite. Guys we thought would be destined for stardom, and they kind of fizzled out. So you never know. You can't quantify the heart. And you got to get drafted the right situation. You have to get a little lucky, the right system, great coaching. There's somebody, anybody that tells you anything. Like, listen, you watch Kuiper and Todd McShay. They're great at what they do, even though they miss a ton. But they speak with such, like, you know, in such a, like a certain tone, and I respect that. That's where they've gotten to this point, but you really don't know. The projectability is a crapshoot. It really is. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day.
Give a quick bit of love here to Shaka Smart in Texas. We watched this game last night at the bar. Over Lipscomb, Texas beat Lipscomb. I mean, they beat him up last night. Texas did over Lipscomb. And it's good. I like it for Shaka. 81-66 was the score. But I like it for Shaka because it's been I don't want to say disappointing, but it's been less than, I think, the expectation in Texas. And people are already starting to talk about he's on the hot seat if he doesn't get things turned around and push forward next season for the Texas Longhorns squad. So the NIT, we know it's sub, at least perceptually. for most people to the NCAA tournament, but he did take his team there. A 21-win season at the end of the day, 16 losses on the year, but NIT champions for Shaka Smart, who we like.
Yeah,
he's just
not getting
a great job done down at Texas.
No, he's not. I mean, he's going into year number five.
Yeah.
He's had a full recruiting cycle.
No doubt.
And, you know,
It's got to turn.
You know, Texas is obviously, even though the football is a little bit down and they're starting to come up, mm-hmm. Longhorn football. You know, T.J. Ford was a terrific college player. Obviously, Kevin Durant was there for a little bit, not too long. But, I mean, Texas has had some really good pedigree. And, you know, I look at the success there, or, you know, somewhat debatable. You know what really hurt him? His second year, he went 11-22.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have started 11-22 and then built it up to 20-13, which is what he did his first year,
yep.
And kind of invert that, he made the NCAA tournament as well. Then it's like, okay, here we go. We've got our guy, and there's momentum, and maybe that looks better for recruits, and that leads to one different player that commits, and who knows where we are. He hasn't been terrible by any stretch. But he has not been a home run. I'd say at this point he's only a solid double.
Yeah,
I don't even know if he's a triple.
No, I think you're right, BT. Yeah. The biggest miss of this game last night, and we'll get to this in the NCAA Final Four, was BT didn't look at the line. The line that was
Texas
minus 1.5.
I forgot the NIT was going on, to be honest with
you. That was easy money, BT.
I know, man.
We said it as it was happening.
I know.
At the bar through the third, maybe the fourth shot of whiskey for you, tequila for me. This is a bad miss for BT.
That's
for
a sharp. Well, it's not a bad miss is when you actually get it wrong.
A bad
omission.
A bad not taken.
A bad omission.
A bad omission.
Bad oversight.
Yes.
I didn't lose it.
Exactly.
I just didn't play it. Tiki and Theory, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So ready to bounce pretty soon, and we got to get some predictions, and we'll start. I mean, obviously, Tiki's got Virginia. Do you think it's close? Virginia -6. I'll give you a point spread as well for my end.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia's always close. There's a few teams, bad teams, like NC State and NCAA in the ACC tournament. It was a close game at half. You're like, man, they might push the line, and they beat them by 20. You know what I mean? So
yep.
The bad teams, Virginia, even if they start slow, will find a way to blow away. Auburn is not that type of team. They like to play with pace. Those two smaller point guards or ball handlers are scorers. They get to the rim. So even though they're disrupted because they lost their big man in the middle, they're still going to score. The challenge for Virginia will be, how do you slow it down? You know, what kind of defense is Tony going to employ to protect the three-point areas they always are want to do? But I do think Virginia wins, but I think it's going to be close. So I might actually take the points here.
If you're anybody but a Virginia grad, obviously,
yeah.
You never, you know, I'm just saying for everybody else out there. I got you. I disagree. I don't disagree that Virginia's going to win, but I think they're going to cover the number. You know, and you touched on the injury, and we've talked about this, you know, really since it went down, and mm-hmm. how they show great resolve and spirit. And a lot of times an injury fortifies a team, and it almost propels you to a level.
Yeah, lifts you a little bit.
It's almost like a false
let's win one for the whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. And listen, focus and passion is an incredible asset for certain teams. I think that dissipates a little bit because now they're back to the reality, and the reality is that they're in the Final Four. That's the main reality.
Yeah.
That's their reality. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. But my reality is that I believe they're going to really miss somebody who's incredibly important to what they do. I think they hang because I think they've got heart. I think they've got moxie. I know they have talent.
Yeah.
I know they're well coached. But I think Virginia pulls away, and I think Virginia covers the 6, and I think Virginia gets there Monday night waiting for the championship. The other matchup, and this one, I'll tell you, this could be a dogfight.
This one's harder.
Oh, I kind of like the under if you want to look at something. Like I believe it's 132, 132.5. I don't think we get a ton of points, although you never know. Texas Tech with Coach Beard, defensive style, Tariq Owens, that great play in the corner, blocking the three, saving it, even though we stepped out of bounds. And Michigan State is always about, you know, a grinded out, you know, gut-wrenching kind of a game. It's rarely pretty aesthetically. I've got Sparty moving on. And I've got Sparty covering the relatively low number. Listen, if you think Michigan State's going to win, then you lay the 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, then you take Texas Tech, you go money line. But it's a small number, although I think that might actually increase. So if you like Michigan State now, I think you'll get some late money on the Spartans. That could go up to 3. But I do think Michigan State plays Virginia for the championship.
Yeah, but just to think about this in a different way, this coaching matchup is one that's just, it's so exciting to talk about because – of Chris Beard, as we've mentioned many times over the course of the last week, his journey and the improbability of him being here in the Final Four for a Texas Tech program that doesn't traditionally have, you know, Final Four aspirations, but yet here he is. Now, they got close last year. They were in the Elite Eight. Jared Culver, who we looked at earlier this week, from Lubbock, so he went to Coronado High School right there
crazy?
In Lubbock. He's right there, right? And to keep a local star, I mean, a big-time local high school star in Lubbock at Texas Tech when there's many other places that he could have matriculated to, I think is a great win for Coach Beard, and it's paid dividends for them. And so you contrast that with Izzo, who's kind of making this Final Four a referendum on his career. Now, it may just be a narrative he's creating, and it's one that's interesting to talk about because all the appearances here, he's only got that one championship. This is it's exciting because of the contrast in the two coaches. One's old school and he's been there forever. He makes you used to make you guys run, make the guys run around in shoulder pads to build some toughness. Versus Chris Beard, who's been the circuitous route to finally get into a Final Four.
So, but also that DNA that is from the Bobby Knight tree.
That's right.
You know, well principled, tough.
He
stern.
Appreciates him.
We asked
him about that.
Yeah.
If he appreciated how
and
these
Pat
old coaches,
too.
Of course.
And
so. You know, the matchups are fantastic. The coaching narratives are fantastic. So for anyone who, after Duke Law said this Final Four isn't going to be, you know, worth it, these are going to be exciting games. Just like we saw in the Elite Eight, every single one of those games was an exciting game. Even if the result wasn't what, you know, the Raiders of college basketball wanted, they were great games. And I think the results indicate, you know, both the coaching and the quality of players on all of these teams.
All right, so let me ask you this, Teak. You're in a unique spot here because most of your great athletic memories include you being on the field.
Because,
you know, we talked about when you went to the Redskins game, you and Rondé as a kid, your first game at a pro venue. But that wasn't in your, you know, right. That was, you had to get there. You know, you grew up in Virginia, rural Virginia. There's no pro teams.
Nope.
You know, I know you watched the Braves growing up, a little TBS with Dale Murphy and that crew in the 80s.
Yep.
But where, I mean, this has to be your number one athletic memory. I mean, outside of what you did as a player,
well,
it's got to be.
It's interesting.
Just being here.
Because you know me, right? I'm not that fan. You know what I mean? I'm not that guy. I'm not that, oh, my God, am I the Giants? I love
but I'm not
jumping from the
that's
Raptors.
Me.
Yeah, that's you. The only thing I'm a fan of, like truly a, like start sweating, start feeling anxious fandom about is UVA.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had that for football, UVA football, in a really long time. I mean, maybe for a couple years with Thomas Jones, who followed me right after I left because he was great and he broke all my records. And it was just awesome to watch this kid turn into who he is. And now he's an actor and he's doing great things with his life and career. But Virginia football has been on the slide for a long time, man. Virginia basketball, though, it's about 7 years ago when Tony Bennett took over. And I said this, and I talked to Carlo Williams, who is our athletic director over at the shoot-around earlier today. He is the perfect coach to coach at the University of Virginia. And it's not pretty. It's not exciting. It's not, you know, beautiful basketball, at least as people define it. But it is beautiful for UVA. And I've been so, like, on edge with them for the last 3 years. This is finally the time, right? They get to the Sweet 16. Syracuse knocks them out of all people. It's just, you know, you get back your number one overall seed. They lost two games in last season. They lose to UMBC. It's like these anticipatory peaks that end up in the bottom of the valley.
Yeah, welcome to fandom.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Exactly. And so
it's not easy.
And so here we are. Virginia's in the Final Four. This will be my first Final Four game ever. Never been to it. We come here every year. Mm-hmm. I never stay and go to the games.
Mm-hmm.
This will be my first Final Four game ever, and it's my alma mater playing on the big stage. I can't tell you how excited I am, and I'm rooting for Wahoo Wah with every fiber of my soul.
Well, listen, man, I hope you have a great night. I hope it matches up to what's in your heart and what's in your head. Your team, they usually do with Bennett. They'll be ready. Hopefully the ball bounces your way, not to take anything away from Auburn. I got love for them as well, but I want to see my partner get a chance to cut down a net on Monday night. So enjoy the rest of the weekend, buddy.
Appreciate you, brother.
Enjoy it, no doubt.
Safe travels back home.
Yes,
good luck to Colton.
Hey, Little League practice tomorrow.
Little League practice.
Coach got to get back.
I know.
Let's go. Let's go. We got to work on some drills. Hit the curveball. You're four. We got to throw a little backdoor slider. Everybody have an outstanding weekend. Enjoy the games. Minneapolis, we appreciate you, and we will catch you Monday. Go Wahoo Wah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.